fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. God, we need you. We need your word. Thank you for leaving the blueprint. Thank you for leaving the map. Thank you for leaving instructions so we don't have to guess. God, your word is clear on how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to speak, how to talk, how to walk. It covers everything, God. Let us apply. Give us the courage to apply it to our life. Bless your people. May they hear. May they discern the word, Lord. And bless your word, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, family, as we continue on this journey in the wilderness, we've talked about the three things. We're still on number three, the three things that kept them in the wilderness. We've made a point that the world is a wilderness. We recognize that as we navigate through. Oh, my gosh, just listening to some of the news headlines this past week. If you don't believe the world is a wilderness and we're in the last days and all that, I don't know. I'm not an end time prophet, but my God, the writing is on the wall. And the world is so crazy, they don't get it. They tell you that I heard on the news how the disasters, the natural disasters, is global warming. I was reading the word. It looks like it's the word of God to me. Said in the last days, these are things that shall happen. But, you know, the world, the deception of the world. Have you walking around mad because it's global warming? As opposed to getting our lives right, we want to blame. It's always something else. Other than God. So I'm not going to digress into that. But God, we need you. And so as we're in this world, in this wilderness, again, this is not a list of do's and don'ts. This is God saying, are you going to choose dysfunction or destiny? This is God saying, are you going to choose foolishness or your future? Are you going to choose pleasure or your purpose? Are you going to choose confusion or clarity? Are you going to choose judgment or Jesus? It's your choice to choose comfort or Christ. I'm going to read it again. Some of us are no closer to God than we were 11 months ago because we are choosing and allowing Satan to distract us in the wilderness. Now we think dysfunction is normal. It's getting ready to be 2019, family, and another year of wandering for some. You see how easy it is for 40 years to add up. See how easy it is for 40 years to add up. Because one is gone. 2018 is pretty much gone. And some of us not here, some people we know are wandering. And then God help us to reach out to those that we know are out there. At least plant a seed, water a seed. And God, you give the increase. So as we finish off the five things that kept the children of Israel and God's people in the wilderness until they died, it's not about what you're doing. It's more about the purpose, the plan, and the promise of God for your life that you will never accomplish or obtain if you continue to wander in the wilderness. You and I have to want God and God's purpose and promise for our life more than we want the pleasures of the world. Make a note, family. It's not about playing Holy Spirit. All right. Those of us and we have kids, we have siblings. And we see that maybe they're not measuring up or thinking they should live the way we want them to live. Make a note. It's not about playing Holy Spirit. It's about praying to the Holy Spirit on behalf of them. Let me say that again, because sometimes we think they should be further ahead because we see it because we're playing the Holy Spirit. It's not about playing the Holy Spirit. It's about praying to the Holy Spirit on their behalf. Somebody say amen. That's what it's about, family. So don't get frustrated. Don't get all caught up into what somebody, how they're not coming around or how they're not measuring up. It's not your job to play Holy Spirit. It's your job to pray to the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit for them. Somebody say amen. So this is not a talking about what you're doing. It's talking about what God has for you. That's in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 1.
Yes.
So we've already talked about Solomon and he built those idols. And here's another note, as I think I've said it already. War number three, they were fornicating. They were committing adultery. They homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality. Fornication covers all that. Strip clubs and porno and all that. And fornication leads to spiritual idolatry. It starts one way and then you start sliding. It's the same. It's the same in the word. When you do the Greek and the Hebrew, it shows that it's spiritual idolatry because you start to worship people and the acts. Just like Solomon, you start building altars to it. And I kind of made a note somewhere around here. People say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? So it says, read this. When you invite someone over to your house, it's in parenthesis, really it's God's house or apartment or dorm or hotel room because God allowed you to get it. Somebody say amen. And he's trusted you to be a good steward over it. You fornicate with someone. That means you're sleeping with someone who you're not married to. You build a temple or shrine to a false god and worship there through the act of fornication. And what you're doing, you're telling God he's not enough. And you are okay not reaching your purpose. And you're okay dying in dysfunction in the wilderness. Pastor, I didn't build a temple. Well, okay. Actually, you did. You know, you set the tone right. You put the music on. Oh, y'all gonna make Pastor go there this morning, huh? You put the music on. You set the mood. You cut the lights. It looks like you're building a temple or altar or something to me. You got candles. You got your perfume. And it's a nice little shrine built. And trust me, it's not to Jesus. It leads to spiritual idolatry. Say, Solomon must have been crazy building. Oh, Solomon was just setting the mood. That's all he was doing. He set the mood and you're building a shrine and you're starting to worship that whole thing. And this is number three and we got two more. I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on this. I don't know because there's so many directions that it goes in because we all dealing with relationships. We all are dealing with the relationship. And you can't allow a relationship to keep you in the wilderness. You got to do it God's way. Amen. So too, for those of us that are married, we can't step outside of our marriage and get caught up in some stuff and take us away from God's purpose and destroy our marriage and our life. Those of you that are single, you can't let the enemy make you think that you're lonely and your biological clock and I got to do this and I got to do that and I just have to get desperate right now. I mean, it's a constant struggle. And then we're not going to have time today, but next time we're going to talk about being unequally yoked because that's a part of it. Because that's a part of the relationship. So I don't know how much time I'm going to spend on this. I don't. But I know that we're dealing with it. When we walk out of here, everybody's dealing with it. Our youth are dealing with it at school. Just like Solomon, they start worshiping the creature and not the creator. You go on any high school campus and college campus, they're talking about the creatures and not the creator. The guys are standing around. That's all they're doing. Look at this. Look at that. Ooh, she, her, this, that. The girls, ooh, he's. We're looking at the creature and not the creator. So we're not going to get around it. So let's expose it. So, and it's not about what you're doing. It's about what God has for you. All right, let's get into the word. Deuteronomy 7 and 1. Underline when. It starts off, when the Lord shall bring you into the land which thou goest to possess it. So remember, God has promised them the promised land. He's promised us abundant life. When, that speaks of timing, God is faithful, it's going to happen. When, the when is on God, the if is on us. God takes care of his part, we have to take care of our part. The when is on God, the if is on us. It's not even a question. There, Moses is telling them when God does what he says he's going to do. Because God's going to do it. So he's promised them the land. When the Lord shall bring thee into the land where you go to possess it, and hath cast out the nations before him, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. Make a note, God is kicking people out to bring you there. And as we're going through the book of Joshua, they're actually just wiping them out. So make a note, there's consequences for sin. These are the nations that hate God. God's telling them, go wipe them out, everything. But why would God? And you have people now, that a loving God. Why would a loving? Because God hates sin, and these people hate God, and God's wiping them out. And it's the same God. He's the Lord God. He does not change, and people have to deal with that God. Make a note. When he came, when Jesus came, he was the Lamb of God. When he comes back, you're dealing with the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You're not dealing with a lamb anymore. When you stand before God, you're not dealing with the lamb anymore. Folks think they're dealing with the lamb. You're dealing with the lion now. And you're going to have to deal with that. God's not going for excuses. He's the Lamb of God. He's already taken away the sins of the world. Now you got to deal with the judgment if you're not covered with the blood. And the world wants to say, well, how would a God? Read the word. Read it right here. He wiped them out. And he's telling Israel, it's not about strength. It's about God. He said, these nations are mightier than you. They're greater and they're mightier. So listen, when we're dealing with something, yes, it looks big, it's huge, it's greater, and it's greater and it's mightier, but we got God on our side. We have God. That's the difference maker. Daniel had God in the lion's den. David had God when he faced Goliath. And we have God when we face the things that we have to deal with. It could be greater, it could be mightier, it is. Whether it's financial, whether it's a job situation or a relation, it's just too big to handle. But you got God. And God's faithful. Look at verse 2. And when? It's not about if God's going to do it. When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, you shall smite them and utterly destroy them. Wipe them out. Make a note. So we're in the wilderness. There are relationships that we got to get rid of. There are people that we need to disconnect from. And we, God, give us the courage to do it. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You got to just let some people go. Don't play Holy Spirit. Pray to the Holy Spirit for them. Some people you just have to let go. And then here's verse 3. This is where we're going. This is he was clear. God's always clear. Solomon chose to be disobedient, just like we do. Now he's speaking of not being unequally yoked. And we'll get to the New Testament another time because we just won't have time to unpack all this. Neither shall you make marriages with them. Your daughter shall not give unto. Your daughter thou shall not give unto his son. Nor his daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away your son from following me. This is God speaking. That they may serve other gods, so will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So I don't know how far we go, family. He's talking about not being unequally yoked, because you're just going to. It's going to, time's going to come where you got to choose between God and the person that you're married to or the person you're dating. Just comes a time when you have to. And then with our kids, it's just so hard these days to say, no, I don't want you to date them, because then you know what they do? They go out and date whoever you told them not to date. Not anybody. I'm not looking. That's what they do. So we can't tell our kids that, because then that's how the enemy sets it up, that they go run out and date the person you told them not to, because they got to show you that they're independent. But I don't know how. All we can do is suggest. And then those of us that have kids, and the youth that are in here, the singles in here, all we can do is suggest. I would ask my girls all the time, Dad, this guy is cute, I like him, this, that, the other. Okay, is he saved? Is he a Christian? Not does he go to church? Somebody say amen. Amen. That's all I can ask you. And then those that go to church, come on, somebody say amen. Those that go to church ain't saved. Some of them go and just play the game. But all we can do is make suggestions. But ladies, you know, some of us know all too well, the worst thing you can do is marry somebody who is unequally yoked, or get it going to the relationship with somebody who's unequally yoked. It just causes issues. How are you going to raise your kids? I was listening to the radio, Christian radio, and the guy had married, he was saved and she wasn't, and they're going to make it work. You know, I don't know if it was a missionary thing where he's going to get her saved while they're married. That was his mission, right? She's going to be saved, become saved once we get married, which you all know that doesn't work. And they were cruising along, and hey, we can work most things out. He had three kids, and then she got pregnant with a fourth, and she didn't want a fourth. So she said, I'm going to abort the kid. And he said, no, I don't believe in abortion. Well, I do. The rubber got to meet the road somewhere. It's going to happen. It's hard enough when both parents are saved and love the Lord. How did it turn out? I don't know, family. They were in the midst of, what are we going to do? But she said, my worldview is okay with abortion. He said, mine isn't. We got three kids. You're going to kill them. I don't want another kid. You're not on the same page. You're unequally yoked. What are you supposed to do? What do you think was going to happen? Not to mention, what can the kids watch? What can they listen to? Where can they go? What they can't go, and where they can't, and what can they do and what they can't do? So I gotta say, you don't want to make marriages with them. Because what normally happens is we slide over to the other side. Gotta read this, Sister Kathy. It says, we all know someone who's gotten mixed up with the wrong man or the wrong woman, serving a false god, the god of the flesh, or alcohol, or drugs, or money, or fortune, or fame, and their heart is turned totally against the true and living God. It's personal and as real as it gets. It's affected every family. What do you mean? What else can I say, family? How about this? You want to pray and they want to play. You're on a fast and they're having a feast. You're trying to meditate and they want to fornicate. You into the word and they're into the world. How do you think it's going to end? Did I say happy Thanksgiving? I know I'm going a little hard. Did I say happy Thanksgiving? Hey, y'all. So good to see you. I love y'all. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving. Okay, we got to live this thing. We got to live this thing. Youth, you got to live this thing. All we can do is teach you, youth, and then you got to go out and live it. It's on you. The if is on you. God's going to do what he said he's going to do, but the if is on you. And all this is about, look, it's about, as your pastor, I don't want to see you wandering in the wilderness in dysfunction and missing everything that God has for you. I don't want to see myself wandering in the wilderness in dysfunction, thinking I got it going on and I'm getting away with something. and I'm wandering in the wilderness and just waiting to die in dysfunction. That's what this is about. God has so much for all of us, so much more for all of us. Don't get distracted in the wilderness. I wrote this down too, and I'm going to get back to the word. Here's a sad revelation. That couple, all right, the unequally yoked couple. Oh, and whether it's a man and a woman, or a woman and a man, or a man and a man, and a woman and a woman, it doesn't matter to Satan. Trust me, it doesn't matter. Satan doesn't care how he deceives you and I. He doesn't worry about the combination, how many it mailed. It don't matter how many you got. Or how many of you hanging out and sleeping? It don't matter. He doesn't care about that. Amen. What matters is that he keep you deceived and you die in your dysfunction. Amen. And that couple is wandering in the wilderness and will die in their dysfunction and never experience the progress, the plan, the purpose, or the promise that God has for them. In the Hebrew, the word prosper is progress. So when God says he's going to prosper them, he's talking about something going to progress. You're going to progress in your life. But you can't progress if you choose fornication, idol worship, lusting after evil things in the wilderness. It doesn't happen. What were they doing for 40 years? A whole lot. Verse 5. But thus shall you deal with them, you shall destroy. You got to get rid of some stuff. You got to break it off. You got to sever some stuff. You should destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their graven images with fire. That sounds like you got to get rid of some stuff. You got to let some people go. Some relationships just ain't. It's not good. Or it's not godly. But then why? God gives us the why. Look at six. Because you're holy. You're separated. God says, I've separated you. He was talking to the Jews, but this applies to us now. We've been sanctified. We're holy people. Unto God, your God. The Lord your God has chosen you. Somebody say amen. Underline chosen. God has selected you and I. It's the least we could do is to live for God. God could have left us out there. He could have turned us over to a reprobate mind, never to come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and slide right into hell. By saying God has chosen. Look what he says. He's chosen you to be a special treasure unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Somebody highlight that and put a star by it. If you don't have it, don't you ever forget how God feels about you and I. We are a special treasure. So the Christians are, I can't get in all that. I just get into the word. And the word says he's chosen a special treasure. And that's me because I've accepted Jesus Christ, which is the way, the truth, and the life. You argue with the word, don't argue with me. I'm just going based upon the word of God. You got people who think they're smarter than the Bible. God help them. This is what the word says. We're the special treasure. But and God lets us know, keep yourself humble. Verse 7, that he didn't choose you. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you. Underline choose, he chose. But he, because you were more in number than the people, for you were the fewest. God said, it wasn't nothing really special about it. I just had to choose somebody, and I chose you. So don't let your head get too big. It's not like you earned it or you were living so well that God said, I want to choose you because you're so righteous. That's not the case. So you were the least. Verse 8, but because the Lord loved you, because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with the mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Underline in verse 9, know therefore. You can't go based on your emotion. You got to know this. You got to internalize this. This is what you got to know, family. When you're out there and you're dealing with it, you got to know that God's chosen you. I can't settle for less. I can't go out with you. I can't get involved with you. I can't build that altar to you. got to build it to God. I've known someone, we used to see them at church every Sunday, start dating somebody, ain't seen them since. I mean, that's just how it happened. We got to worship something. We got to get into something. And if we don't understand we're in the wilderness and it's a big old mirage, it's a big, strong delusion and deception. And we're out there in the middle of it and here's another year gone by. And even we think we're winning, we're losing. All right, let me finish this up. Verse 9. Know therefore. I love this scripture. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. He is God. So I say, don't get caught up. Let that other stuff go because you got to know that he is God. What's the difference? Because we serve the true and living God and he is God. Why do we take a stand? Why do we try our best to live right? Why do we confess and forsake our sin? Because we know that he is God. He is God. And look, he's a faithful God right after that. He's here to stay. Then says he keeps covenant. He's a promise keeper. So make a note. What do you need to know about God? That the Lord is God. That he's faithful and he keeps promises. And he said, when he takes you to that land, because all that's going to happen, just like he promised us life and that more abundantly in Christ, all that's going to happen if we don't get distracted in the wilderness. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Faithful God. Which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is faithful to us and our kids and our kids' kids. Train up a kid in the way they should go. And they old, they won't depart from it. Whether that includes cooking or not for you Thanksgiving dinner, Sister Kathy. But God watches out for them all the way down the line. But verse 11, see, people, we got to read the whole word. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face. Why is he wiping them out? Because they hate God. And God says, you got to deal with me now. You chose not to love me. Now you got to deal with me. And look what it says. He repays them that hate him to their face. God doesn't come behind your back. God goes right to your face, destroys them. And he will not be slack. God is, the mercy is over. It's appointed for us to die once. And after that, it's the judgment. The mercy is now. Why you still have a chance to accept Jesus Christ. After that, the mercy is over. And you stand before God in judgment. He will not be slack to him that hates him. He will repay him to his face. Remember, make a note. We were fortunate. We have the Lamb of God. But right here, he's talking about you dealing with the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The folks are going to have a rude awakening. When I stand before God, I'm going to tell them, you ain't going to tell them nothing. You ain't going to tell the Lion of the Tribe, but you ain't going to tell him nothing. Why would you let, you ain't going to tell God nothing. You're going to have to deal with an awesome and terrible God. Verse 11, you say, that's why. Just keep the prescription. It doesn't fail me. This is God's word. This is prescription on how to live. And we'll listen to our doctor before we listen to God. Y'all know we take our medicine faithfully every day, but we don't read the word at all. So how do we know how to live if we're not reading? And remember, make a note, family, Proverbs. And I put on the back of your bulletin. I got the scriptures there. I got our worship scriptures there. The proverb, the prayers there. Start there. Start there. Connect with God there. Because we gotta walk out and we gotta live this thing. And you, at least you have to know how to live this thing. If I'm not teaching and modeling to you how to live this thing, then I'm not doing my job as a shepherd. That's why in verse 11, you shall therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command you this day and to do them. God says do them. Underline do them. Not just keep them, but to do them. All right, so let's finish here. Amen. Yes, we have a few minutes. We will finish here. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's finish in our Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 30. In verse 14. 30 and 14. And I'll probably unpack this next time. I just want to introduce it to you all. Then we'll go ahead and dismiss. If you're there, say amen. If you're not there, say hold up. If you can see it on the screen, say amen. If you need glasses, say hold up. Here we are in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 14. Now we got a little extra time. Let's start at 11. Verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far from you. God is saying, I'm not playing peekaboo with you, with how to live. God doesn't have us guess on how to live. He's saying this prescription that I'm commanding you this day is not hidden from, it's in plain sight. Neither is it far off. But you know what happens? We get distracted with all these other pictures that the world paints for us, and we get distracted. But God is saying it's not my commandments, my prescriptions for your life. They're not hidden from you. They're in plain sight. Verse 12 is not in heaven that you should say who shall go up for us to heaven and get it. Bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. So God, I would have followed you, but I just didn't know how to get to heaven to understand what to do. Verse 13, neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, man, it's so far out. Who's going to go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? God, I could never find you, God. I could never find your word. I couldn't go to heaven and get it because you're up and was so far in the mountains and I don't know how to live. God said, no, it's not. Now let's go to 14, Dominique. When you're dealing with the lion, you can be lying, but you're going to get dealt with. God hasn't hidden this from us. God is great. He created everything in the this purpose and purity class we're talking in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. Without him was not anything made that is made. God made everything. So if God can create everything, then all of a sudden God gets dumb and stupid and can't tell us how to reach him. So he created all this. But where are you guys? It's right in front of you. People, how do I know God exists? Are you kidding me? So he created everything, and all of a sudden he gets so dumb that he can't show you that he exists. And then when you tell them about Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, they don't want to believe it. They're going to have to deal with the lion of the tribe of Judah. They're not going to be able to tell God I didn't know, because God said, I didn't hide this. It's right in front of you. God's not stupid. Don't let the world make you think God is stupid. He can't be found, and he's not smart enough to leave it in plain sight. Even when we celebrate the new year, Jesus Christ split time in half. That's why it's 2019 from BC to AD. It's in plain sight. Every time you look on a calendar, you got to be reminded that something happened. I didn't know you existed. Okay. You didn't want to know, but that's all right. Let me stick to the word because I said we're wrapping up. Verse 14, but your word is near, very near. It's not just near, it's very near. It's very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Oh, it gets better. Look what God says. See, I set before you this day life and good and death and evil. Make a note, you have a choice. That's why people don't come to church, because they don't want to hear stuff like this. God is saying, I'm setting in front of you this day life and good and death and evil, and you have a choice. The world wants to thumb its nose at God, but they have a choice. And it's not God's fault. It's a choice. We have free will. Parents, your kids have free will. All we can do is teach and lead and pray, but then they make the choice. And God said, I've already said it in your heart, so don't say you didn't know this. The Bible talks about how God has put his word in our heart. That's why we're always searching for something. Searching for love and searching for money and success. We got to get to the next level because we'll be happy then. But God says, that's my word in your heart. And you need to find me. Amen. Doesn't come in anything else, but it's in there. So we got to search for something. But the word is very near unto you in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. Let me finish this up. See, I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land where you go to possess it. It's about going into that land. He said, you're getting ready to get into the promised land. God wants to take you there. Cut out all the foolishness and the shenanigans. I'm setting before you life and good or death and evil. So when you get to the land, you know how to live. On your way to the land, you know how to live. Verse 17, but if in your heart, it's always about the heart. That's why I said, don't get mixed up with all those other folks, because you're going to start dating their women. You're going to start dating their men, and they're going to take your heart away. He told Solomon. Solomon didn't listen. He told the Israelites, they didn't listen. He's telling us, we got to listen. All right. Verse 17, but if in your heart you turn away so that you will not hear, but you'll be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, gosh, I denounce you this day. Oh, this is a hard word. I love you, Lord. I denounce unto you this day that you shall suddenly perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where thou pass over the Jordan. They lasted 40 years and they were dead because they didn't do what God told them to do. God told them, look, and look, 40 years, you already know. Somebody say, man, that's not a long time. And some of those guys were in their 20s, so that means they lived to be 60. That's not a long time. But that's all they got because they went in the wilderness and did their own thing. God told them. God said, I'm giving you life or death. You make the choice. Don't get distracted. And see, we're under grace now. So, Lord, thank you for the grace. Because we go out and act a fool and be like, hey, we got to deal with consequences, but it ain't like this. Somebody say amen. We got to deal with consequences, but it ain't this. All right. Whew. Let me finish this up. I said I was going to pack it later, didn't I? All right. Look at 19. Ooh, God help us. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Ooh, God's cold, boy. They need to make a movie of this. Look at God say, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. See, people are saying stupid stuff, and the Bible says every idle word we're going to have to give an account for. Heaven and earth is recording some stuff, but thank God when it got to us, it's just covered. All your recordings got covered by the blood. Somebody better say amen. Amen. Oh, God, we don't want none of that stuff recorded. Okay, we don't want none of that stuff recorded. We want it covered. call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. Gosh. Blessings and cursing. Therefore what? We got a choice. We talked about in purpose and purity. I don't care how you was born. We learned today that Jesus said you can be born again. You can choose life. So I don't care. I was born like, I don't care about that. You can choose life today. You can be born again. It's John 3:3. Teaching the youth. I'm trying to teach them. Jesus is God. You can be born again. He's the way, the truth, and the life. They got to know this stuff when they get out there. Let me read that again. I'm going to stop. You know, we do link sausages. We'll pick it up next time. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death. You got life. You can choose life and blessings, or you can choose death and a curse. Are you kidding me? And then look what God says. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. And we're going to stop right there. Oh, God, help us. So if you would just bow your heads, we'll just close this out in prayer. God, thank you for giving us a choice. You could have made it possible not to even have a choice, God. God, I pray for all those under the sound of my voice, including myself, that we would choose life and blessings. I pray for our youth, Lord, that they would choose life and blessings. I pray for our couples, Lord, that they would choose life and blessings. I pray for our singles, Lord, that they would choose life and blessings. I pray for our children, Lord, that they would choose life and blessings. Pray for our seasoned saints, Lord, that they would choose life and blessings. God, thank you for giving us a choice. Thank you that you've put your word in our heart. And David said, thy word, Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Even in the midst of all the craziness that had happened in his life, he confessed and forsake that sin. And God, how can you say? Well, he can say it because he truly repented. God, thy word have we hid in our heart that we might not sin against thee. Then the word says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, thank you that we're under grace and not under the law. Lord, let us choose to live for you. God, don't let us get distracted in the wilderness. And if we do and we fall, let us get right back up and run to you and not run from you. God, there's no way around relationships. We got to deal with them, Lord. Give us the courage to keep them godly, to keep them holy, to keep them sanctified, to do it your way, so we can experience the favor, the life, and the blessings that you promised that comes from keeping your word. We love you for that, Lord. We bless you. And maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I got to start at step one. I've never accepted Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't even know if I'm saved. If that's you, elevate your hand. If you want to get saved this morning, which means rescued, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You don't have to guess. You can know. And maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life. I think we all just did that. But that's a heart-to-heart connection between you and God. God, forgive us. Your word says if we cover our sins, we shall not progress. But if we confess and forsake, we shall find mercy and we can progress and move forward in you. Forgive us, Lord, on the times when we chose death and a curse over your life and blessings. Thank you that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, which is between us and the Father, who's praying for us now, rooting for us to make it, died on the cross for our sins, seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Chief. That's why we love you, because you did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I've never officially joined. I want to join this morning. If that's you, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you. There's nothing left to say, but God, give us the strength and the courage to live this. To walk away from certain things and certain people. Give us the courage to not play with sin. God, help us. Let us be light, salt, and love. Let us pray for others. And God, you give the increase. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet, hug someone, and you are dismissed.